Old, partial, dismembered, and thoroughly cooked corpses abounded. Most weren't soldiers. Ladies' workers had gotten a running start, but that hadn't been good enough for most. "Where's Lady?" I asked, as Croker followed me. "Trying to get a fix on Catcher. Hoping we can slap back while she's still tired and feeling smug." "Waste of time." "Probably. You do any dreaming last night?" "No, I tossed and turned and tried to talk myself out of coming over here. I would have sent for you eventually. I saw why in a moment." He'd spotted the body first. Uncle Doge lay sprawled on his back amidst the crowd. One shoulder had been burned by a fireball. A second fireball had burned part of his hair away. Much of what remained had been bleached white. His face was contorted. His right eye was wrinkled shut and buried beneath a crust of dried blood. His left eye was open. It stared at the sky. Ash wand lay across his chest. He still gripped it with both hands. Its perpetually sharp blade was discolored, as though it had been used to stir a fire, as though the temper had been burned out. Uncle Doge's clothing looked as though somebody had sprinkled him with small coals after he went down. A small white feather was stuck in the blood on his cheek. He shuddered. A sound like a giant fart came out of him. Tidae, who'd been standing beside me staring dumbstruck, dove forward. Croker snapped, "You men get back! Give us room! Mergen, bring my medical kit and I'll do what I can." I took off. To my amazement, Tidae bounced up and followed me. He did bark orders at other Nguyen Bao as we went, though. Uncle would be watched over by his own kind. I dove into Croker's shelter, found his bag, and popped back up into the gathering light. I asked Tidae, "Could you tell anything from looking at Uncle?" "He went into the mangrove alone," which was Nguyen Bao idiom. It derived from the story of an incautious hunter who chased a wild pig into a mangrove stand and ran into a tiger when he got there. I dropped Croker's bag beside him. He grunted acknowledgement, then growled at the Nguyen Bao pressing in around us. Not 10 minutes had passed, but it seemed every Nguyen Bao following the old crew had come to see what was happening. Tidae whispered angrily at several. The gist seemed to be that they were shirking their duties by straying from those they were supposed to protect. So strong was the Nguyen Bao concept of debt that the whole bunch scattered immediately. The Nguyen Bao said little. What they did say I understood perfectly, but I learned nothing. Tidae knelt beside Uncle on his left side. The old man knelt opposite him. Croker gave Tidae a wet cloth. "Here. Sponge the crud off his face so I can see how much real damage there is." There was light enough now to see the dried blood and oozings crusted on Uncle's face. While we were gone, Croker had accumulated several buckets of water and had opened Uncle Doge's clothing. He concentrated on the damaged shoulder, which still trickled blood. Doge's scalp wound had cauterized itself evidently. Uncle shuddered again. He could see because he looked up at Tidae, recognized him, tried to raise his arm, barely got hold of Tidae's right elbow. He whispered,
"The thousand voices! Watch for the thousand voices!"
"Rest, Uncle," Tidae replied.
"You must. I have little time left. The thousand voices is among us. I struck her down, thinking to reclaim the key, but my blow was not lethal."
That seemed to amaze him.